All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Obviously, as you see, we have the great Bob Griswold with us. It's episode 95. Let me see. Today's date is April 5th. So the Fool's Day is over, but we still have the Fool in office. Listen, we're going to talk about some really deep, dark stuff today. I've had some banter with some of you back and forth on emails wanting to know when we're going to talk about some prepping stuff and some manly skill work. Maybe even some gun work. So we're going to talk about that today. And I think we have the perfect person on with Bob. Bob is the MacGyver of our movement. And anything I don't know, Bob knows five times more of. So we're going to pick his brain a little bit today. And Bob, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, I mean, you know, in 1995, I just felt this passion to start a company that helps people prepare for emergencies. You know, I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. And it from the very beginning of my faith in Jesus Christ, it's just like the characters of Noah and Joseph were impressed upon me so strongly. You know, I always felt like I had a Noah or Joseph's ministry, which is to warn people of coming disaster and how you prepare for it. First of all, the spiritual nature, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin. And the demarcation between those claimants, as Steve calls them, and people who really follow the Lord is becoming more and more contrast. It's not a game anymore. It's not a social club. Christianity is going to start to have a price to it. So you better count the cost, because, you know, it's the only way you're going to have eternal life. But you might save your life a little bit by compromising, becoming one of the crowd. You know, if you look like a zebra and you fit in like a zebra, then you might not be killed. But eventually, all those people end up in the slaughterhouse. That's what they don't understand. A compromiser, I think a person who compromises, according to Winston Churchill, is a guy who wants to get eaten last by the alligator. You know, that's what it is. But eventually you do get eaten by the alligator. So what we do is we have a wide range of survival products or preparedness products that we sell: food, water filtration, solar, night vision, optics, thermal, medical supplies. We have thousands of different products, a lot of books, which I strongly recommend people have a nice survival library. I mean, Dare to Prepare by Holly and Stan Deo, Encyclopedia of Country Living. You know, there's so many different books on animal husbandry, gardening, you know, tactics, how to do tactics, radio. I'm a big fan of radio. And how to operate, you know, team tactics. You know, you can get FMs and TMs off the internet, field manuals and technical manuals from the military, Army, Marines, free of charge. Download them, and they have everything you ever want to know about how to, you know, be an organized force of people that protect for good. I mean, if you want to know how to operate in a squad tactics, they have field manuals how to do that. If you want to learn how to become a medic, they have technical manuals to show you how to become, you know, treat anything you need to do. You can download those for free today. Recommend people do it. But that's what we do. And we like to give instruction and teach people. We do host courses here. We just hosted a course by a Marine medic from Stuck Pig Medical. And they went into some very, very, you know, in-depth treatment of people who have gunshot injuries, how to do decompression of the lungs, tracheotomies, all these different techniques that you can use to save a life. And you might be that guy that saves somebody's life because you've been trained. You know, specialization, as they say, is for insects. We need to be cross-trained today. And that's what we like to teach people to do. That's where we have communications courses. We have courses where people learn to effectively shoot. Everybody thinks they're, you know, the world's greatest shooter. Do they go out there and they're not standing still 10 feet from a target where they can drill holes in a bullseye real easy. But you try to move, run and shoot and hit an accurate target, that become, you know, you've done that. It's a whole lot different equation while you're trying to move, and you've got to get that cadence right so that your feet are in sync with when you pull the trigger. Because if you're not, you're going to be bouncing that weapon. So, you know, those types of things. We have all those courses that teach people how to do that. And plus, we have the gear that lets them practice it. So they can go to my website, readymaderesources.com. Or I love talking to people. Call me at 800-627-3809. Because the days are short, you know. Just two data points. I love data points because, you know, I develop intel reports. It's just in my nature to develop an intel report. I write it down. You know, what's this mean? How do I interpret it? Raw data versus a deciphered data. You know, you take the data and you analyze it and figure out what it really means. Two guys fighting in a park. You don't know why they're fighting. If you know why they're fighting, you can solve the solution. Was it a love triangle that went bad? Was it a drug deal that went bad? Was it somebody cut somebody off and gave them the finger driving on the street? You know, so you have raw intelligence, and then you understand intelligence when you understand what it means. So I tell people to come to their own little intelligence officers, write the stuff down that you see in the news and try to decipher how it's going to affect your life. I mean, we see it today. I mean, two big food companies, two large food companies, Rainy Day Food, which is right on their website, staff shortages. They can't hire enough people to make the food that they need to make. And then Mountain House Food, they just have staff shortages. You can't get it. I'm telling you, everything across the spectrum right now, grain mills, food, solar, night vision, it's all being scooped up. And the lines to get it are getting longer and longer and longer. And, you know, it's going to come the day when, you know, you're going to try to get it. And it's like Bob Griswold's not selling it. I'm going to keep what I have left for my family and maybe my community. And it's rapidly coming to that point. So, well, you know, you're going to be like, you know, the movie, What About Bob? I need, gimme. And there's not gonna be anything to give you. It doesn't matter how much you need. It's not going to be there. And this is not hyperbole. This is not scare tactics to sell stuff. It's just the reality of it.
You know, and Biden's also saying he's going to come after the guns. He's going to come after the ammo, which is something that I've learned for a past couple of years now, that the ammunition sales is where they can hit you. It's not really so much the gun manufacturers. That's just a big iron stick if you ain't got nothing to go through it.
Yeah, it's a club. That's what it is. Yeah. I can beat somebody over the head with it.
Yep. And, you know, here's another thing, talking about this this big iron stick behind me. You talk about the shooting course that you do. For one thing, next time you do it, I need to come up there. But two, if you are not in good shape, shooting is a cardiac challenge. Oh,
absolutely.
Because once the blood starts pumping and you got all the adrenaline going, especially if you're moving, every time you move, your blood pressure is surging through your hands. And that trigger, yes, you're trying to squeeze down on that trigger, and those sites are just doing this with the pressure in your blood. All right. So you're trying to exhale slowly and calmly so that you can get a good shot. And I've seen it time and time with professionals where, and we're in very good shape and we're not hitting the targets because we're pushing ourselves beyond the limit. And that example of being pushed beyond the limit is if, let's just say, now militias, okay? I'm not talking about the militia to save you from the Russians. I'm talking about your local organized group of guys that should be patrolling your area, all right? That's when everything breaks down, that is the formation of the militia. Those guys, if they're not, you know, if they're on horseback or if they're on vehicles, that's great. But if they have to run from here to here to that incident and it's over a mile, you have to have recovery time by the time you get there. And if you're not in that type of cardiac shape, you're not going to shoot effectively, let alone shoot for long. And you better not even think about getting in a ground fight.
You know, you see people, I'm going to hold it up. You see them slapping the trigger when they're shooting. Yep. You know, the effective way to shoot, and it takes practice, is you pull the trigger, the weapon resets, and you feel that reset so you can shoot accurately again. You don't slap the trigger, and that takes trigger discipline.
Yep.
You know, that, just let it out just enough. You hear it reset, and then you do it again, then you can pull the trigger. And that way you can get those speed shots in and put lead on target quickly. But that takes practice. People, they sit on the couch and they think they've got all these, you know, safe queen guns, and they don't ever use them. And they think they're going to go out and become, you know, Johnny Rambo. And it just does not that way. It's just not that way. And it's going to get to the point. I mean, Sri Lanka right now, they're having food riots. What, you know, when the farmers decide they don't want to bring food into the big cities of the United States because they're going to keep it for their community. All politics is local. I mean, we have a big Amish farm here. We'll protect the Amish farm. You will give them protection so that we can keep the food in Monroe County, because that's the people that'll be hungry. Those are the ones that are going to matter to us, my neighbor. And we don't understand that because we have this just-in-time delivery. The president of BlackRock, one of the, it's the largest equities company in the world, I think $20 trillion worth of assets. He just came out the other day and stated, you know, young people are going to have to get used to shortages. They're going to go to the supermarket and not being able to get what they want. They called it scarcity inflation. That's the term they're using, scarcity inflation. I've been to countries where people are hungry. I mean, hungry. They're begging you for money, begging you for everything. I'm a rich American, you know, I go there. They think you have everything. They don't have anything. They'll do anything to feed their family. They'll sell you their children to feed their family. You don't believe it? Go to a third world country. My son was just, he went over to Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And he said, people were just offering anything just for money because they're hungry. They don't have. And that's quickly coming to the United States. We're quickly turning into a third world country. And but, people do not know the depravity and the brutality they're going to see when your neighbors and people do not have enough. And this is why we mentioned before the program, you're going to have to work with your community. There's not going to be Johnny Rambo that's going to sit up in his bunker watching reruns of Jeopardy while he's eating his, you know, freeze-dried food. And that's, he's going to survive there. It's not going to work that way. You have to develop a community-based effort. That means your law enforcement, like them or love them. You know, I tell you, I know, we talked about this before. There are really bad law enforcement guys that are corrupt. Absolutely. But I know most of them are just people like you and me. They have bad days. They have arguments in their marriage. They have this, they, you know, money problems. I mean, so they're trying to do a job that's not a very fun job. I mean, it's not. You're going to meet people who, even the good people that you meet, have been robbed or broken into, whatever, so they're in a bad mood. And this is what these law enforcement guys see all the time. But overall, they're generally good people. I mean, my two best friends are in law enforcement. If you don't like that, I can't help it. But I've known my friend Mark. I mean, he started out as a Palm Bay police officer. Then he went to the Bureau. And then he was with Florida Department of Law Enforcement. I mean, he's a stellar guy, devout Christian man. Another one up in Knoxville, a former first sergeant in the Marine Corps. Just an outstanding guy, give you the shirt off his back, do anything. But he doesn't take any crap from people, you know. And that's the kind of men we need. Those are the type of people we need. And we're going to need them for our communities. You're going to have to work with your community. You got to work with the churches, the civic organizations. You're going to have to work with law enforcement. You're going to have to learn and organize to protect your infrastructure. People do not understand how quickly a warlord is going to develop in your community. If you think you're just going to let all hell break loose in your community and you're going to sit there on your property and be at a garden, do guarding, you know, guarding work with your weapon, and, you know, sleep and cook food and do all that without any assistance, brother, you got marbles in your head. It's not going to happen. So it's going to take a community effort to survive what's coming, because this is what they plan for us. They plan to starve us out. We see that happening right now. They want an authoritarian government that has the right to starve you out. And the fact is, in the Soviet Union, they understood the equation. If Ivan was busy all day long just trying to acquire the food that he needed to stay alive, Ivan couldn't protest. So they keep you, you know, 1 foot nailed to the ground, running as fast as you can. Picture that in your mind for a second. You got a foot nailed to the floor and you're running. You're going to go in big circles. That's what they keep you doing all the time, so that you can't resist what they have planned for you. And we know what they have planned for billions and billions of people, and that's the slaughterhouse. Take your guns, take your communication. That's another thing, communication. You know, I was just showing you beforehand. I was just using this the other day. I can tell people where to get it. It's a very small battery power. I can hook it up to another bigger battery, but this is battery powered. I can take this thing anywhere I need to go with a small antenna, this thing right here. And I can talk anywhere in the United States. Anywhere in the United States. I mean, I had to train myself with this. This wasn't something I just picked it up and go, oh, that's cool. It took some training. I had to learn what the functions do, what they mean. You know, and I've been doing it for years now, and I can teach people how to use that radio very effectively. Yeah, you right. Can teach people very effectively about trigger discipline and using that weapon very well.
Here. Right here. Yeah. Go on eBay, Motorola XTS 3000. I got six of them for I think $400, and I got a base station to charge all six for $200. You know,
yeah.
It's out there. And this is, we use the XTS 8000s. So this is the 3000 model. You just can't do all the fancy programming, but you really don't need it. It's for communication.
Let me just say something. This right here, this is the Bofeng radio. It's about $80. Okay. Mm-hmm. It picks up UHF, VHF, ham radio. You can listen. You're not supposed to transmit on MERS and GMRS with this, although it does transmit in those bands. I can listen to the weather. But again, I can use this for intelligence gathering, which is what the purpose of radio is. I want to gather intelligence. I don't want to give it. Every time I talk, the furthest I talk or you and I talk, I've given away intelligence. That's a guy. Now, you know, I know this people would say, well, you don't know what he is. Our new Supreme Court justice, she wouldn't know what I was, you know, but I can tell it's a guy. And as soon as they start talking about things, my wife, oh, he's got a wife, his children. OK, you know, that's the intelligence I want to gather. I want to know. And believe me, this is why these things are invaluable. I'm telling you, you don't want to talk so much. You want to listen and listen into your community. I can set it up on scan. And then I also want to address this. I know I'm going fast because we don't have a lot of time, but never program this thing. Don't put programming in it. You know, all my programming, because if I lose it, anybody finds it, I've just given away a tremendous amount of data. I have to go back and redo everything. I'm going to do this real quick on the fly. If I can do this right here, let me get a Sharpie. This is how I do it. And I know this is on. When I go out on an op, I would use this formula right here. If you can read that, pace, okay? Primary, I would have two frequencies there. Where I would have a sending and receiving frequency, because if I'm talking and I'm talking on one frequency and the guy's receiving on another, anybody listens only going to hear, what color is that? Space. Oh, that's nice. I like that color. You know, they're not going to hear what the other guy has to say because it's transmitting and receiving on two different frequencies. So every time you go out on an op, this changes. Primary, alternate. If I know my frequency's burnt, if somebody's direction found me, I'm going to go to my alternate frequency, my contingency frequency. Once these two frequencies are burnt, it's time to get the heck out of Dodge. And then my emergency frequency is what's called a VF-12, a VF-17 signal flag. It's orange, bright orange on one side, hot pink on the other side. You know, that's what I use. I don't want to program the radio with that, with all that code, because sooner or later, somebody's going to find it. You're going to lose it, and you've just given away a whole lot of intelligence. Okay, this is what he's doing. Now we know how he's operating.
And you got to understand something, though, folks, is for the information that Bob's giving you, that's the type of stuff that me and him know from days in the government, also from military. We understand how that works. And there's a lot of veterans out there who, by the way, need to swallow some pride and understand that if – prophecy hits the fan within your community. Veterans, if you want to help out, go to the law enforcement, to the first responder stations, and bring your guns, your ammo, and your gear, but you're not in charge. Understand that they should understand that there's an element here of command and control. I don't care that you're the retired Navy SEAL, you won 400 silver medals. I don't care. You're out of duty now. It's the cops are in charge, and then you help out where you can. Or, and this is the way I would do it, perfect world, cops internal security, set up an external security force. There has to be a liaison between two, or one will say they're more important than the other. But cops need to be able to police the people. The people need to be able to police the police. What happens externally, as you do your roving patrols outside of your cordoned city, right? You know, let's say this is your city. As you know, are patrolling out here, you're keeping the wolves at bay, from keeping them away from the door. Cops need to worry about the inside, because you're still going to have crime. Bob, you're still going to have psychopaths. You're still going to have druggies. You're still going to have disorderlies. You're going to have protests. You're probably going to have thieves and criminals still coming up. You're going to have your drug addicts breaking into people's houses. Crime won't change. It'll go up exponentially. But the threat...
go up exponentially.
The threat in this territory now that you've created within your own county or your city is that now you need to start thinking about resources and protecting resources for your city, for your people, and any outside interference coming in. Well, if you're not doing trade with them, then what are they coming for? Is it just to use the military highway that you've now created, the MSR, to get from point A to point B through your city? Are they going to be convoyed and protected all the way through and watched? Or you're going to say, nope, this is the court, and turn around and go all the way around? You know, these are things you would have to literally look at and say, how do we secure a small town, God forbid a large city? These mega cities, Fort Worth, Dallas, get out of them.
New York.
Yeah New York, Knoxville.
You know, when you're using a radio, people don't understand. I always ask them this question: what is your most exploitable asset when using radio? Well, I'm going to tell you, here it is.
Your voice is your most exploitable asset.
That's a text-to-speech program. I don't give you my voice. Let me start later. Wanted to update my computer just then. I don't know if you saw that come across the screen. Update your computer now. How convenient. But yeah, so I can type in whatever I want to type in here. And when I, you know, what's the purpose of intelligence gathering? Why do I want to gather?
The purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation.
You know, so, that's a simple text-to-speech program. I'm giving you some good information right now. So, Wrecker, I'm Navy, okay? I'm not going to say I'm Bob and you're not Doug. I'm Navy, you're Wrecker. My dad was in Navy, so I'm Navy, and you're Wrecker. So I go, I want to authenticate because somebody can sound like you. So if we have a calendar, now this is really parochial, but, you know, a calendar, and there's the dates, you know, a date with a number on it. So say today's date is the 5th, and I have the number 14 there. Now you get, this takes a little planning ahead of time. I give you a calendar all year long with different numbers on it. And so today's date, the 5th, is 14. So I go, record, authenticate 8. Well, 8 from 14 is 6. You'd authenticate Navy. I authenticate 6. See how easy that is? It does take a little planning because that way I'm not being spoofed. Not unless your list has been compromised or something like that, which I'm sure you would have some pretty good OPSEC to keep that from being compromised. I never put it on my cell phone. I'd have a sheet of paper I could burn if I needed to. If I felt like something was going to happen, I could burn that sheet of paper pretty quickly, you know, and I wouldn't carry the whole year with me. I'd carry maybe a few days with me if I was out on a, you know, doing a patrol. So I'd say, if it was 20, I'd say record, authenticate 10. And you'd say, well, today's 20. So you'd say Navy authenticate 10. Yeah. That way, it's just a simple security check to make sure I'm dealing with you. There's all kinds of procedures.
And here's another thing. Like, you know, let's say you set up an ECP, entry control checkpoint, into your town. Well, if you have, you know, let's say now your military vets have all gathered together and all your Bubbas, and all their deer rifles that can shoot at 1,000 meters. I've heard it all. And there are stuff out there. I get that, but that's more than likely not going to be your battlefield from 1,000 meters away. But let's just say we all gathered together. We made a platoon. We're going to go on a walk. We're going to do a little cordon walk. We're going to go in a great big circle, and then we're going to go in another concentric circle, and then we'll divide, and I'll take this quadrant, and you take that quadrant, right? If you're wearing a uniform of some kind, well, then I don't need to completely authenticate if I have my guys that are visually watching from your internal security where you're going and constantly hitting checkpoints and letting me know, hey, this is my grid. This is the checkpoint. This is my first checkpoint. This is my second checkpoint. In between checkpoint one, checkpoint two, should be about a 30-minute walk. If you don't hear from me in 45 minutes, Roger up on the radio, you know, ask for a situational report, you know, these are the things that your veterans and the people who have been in the government for a while, they understand this type of lingo in this type of fight. So in this community, not only should police stick to their job because it's an extremely important job, but the police should also be there to back up and support everyone else internally. But, you know, at that point in time, I would say let the dogs of war out to play. Give the veterans a responsibility. When people start having responsibilities and duties and they can, they have actions they have to perform, then you keep them out of trouble. It's the damn teenagers and the people that are, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s that float in and out of jail No one will hire them. They can't do anything. So they're going to go find their next hire. That's going to be your problem internally. You're already going to have enough problems internally. When we're talking about food shortages, what happens, Bob, whenever the food becomes moldy, you know, or your water gets tainted? Now you're going to have some problems, because now you're going to have more riots, more protests. And it's because people didn't think to plan. And I've said this before. One of these days, I'm going to do it to my own city council. The next time we have a meeting, I'm going to go ask them, what is their contingency plan? If everything breaks down, what does my city that I live in, what's your contingency plan to keep us all afloat? How do you protect the power? How do you protect the water? How many different water assets do you know that we have, ma'am or sir? Put them on the spot, because 9 times out of 10, Bob, the people that are in charge of your town are stupid. They don't know what's happening. They live on their phones, and they live from one vote to the next vote, and it's just a little government job. They completely zone out about it. They don't care, and that's why
government jobs by their nature, because it's hard to fire people. The requirements are low. And so, you know, it's not like a businessman who has to go out and root every day to make his business work. You know, this is another thing. I know it's very parochial, excuse me, but divide your neighborhood into sectors, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, subdivide them. So that way, if you're on a roving patrol to protect your neighborhood, and this isn't protect yourself, this is a community-based effort. That's the only way you're going to survive with a community. I'm in sector one, you know, A. So that way, if I'm in Sector 1A, I don't want to say, you know, give the location. Oh, I'm by the greenhouse with a big palm tree in front of it. That's giving away intel that's going to be exploited against you. So you give it like that, divide your neighborhood into sectors, and that way people know where to go to, you know, for reinforcements. If you observe something that's bad going on, you can call for reinforcements in your neighborhood community. And that's, again, why the importance of communication is so very, very important, and knowing how to use it appropriately, knowing how not to give away. You're going to give away in some intel every time you talk, but knowing how not to give names, dates, places, all the things that people can use to exploit, because the purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation. That's something you should drill into your heads and understand the nature of that. You need to know how to practice OODA loop. Observe, orient, decide, and act. We all do it every day. I used the example, you know, I observe, I orient to the observation, I decide what I'm going to do, and then I act upon my decision. So if I'm driving by Walmart and I see a police car out there with an ambulance, I observe that, I'm going to orient to it, I'm going to decide, that's probably somebody's had a heart attack, you know, probably somebody's been hurt. And, you know, just police doing a police report, an ambulance could take them to the hospital. But again, if I drive by Walmart and see a dozen police cars and 6 ambulances there, what do you think? Mass shooter. So each of those scenarios, I'm going to observe it. I'm observing what's going on. I'm getting my face out of that damn phone, you know, and I'm going to orient to that, the situation. That means you have to keep your head on a swivel. You can't be sitting there with the phone. You have to observe. When I walk out of a building, just doing it, I initially look up. I look at the building roof lines, because, I mean, just something I do. When I'm coming into my driveway, I take my seatbelt off. I don't want to get trapped in a car with a seatbelt on. So I'm observing the situation, coming to the driveway. I'm orienting to it. I'm going to make a decision, take my seatbelt off, and then if I need to act, I can. If I'm strapped into a car and somebody tries to do something, I've got to take that valuable seconds to get that seatbelt off under stress and do that. So this isn't theory anymore. This isn't nice, practical little fun games we can play. This is coming to a neighborhood near you in the near future, where you're going to have be able to make these critical decisions. And it's best you make them now, because we've talked about it. I was talking to another operator here. He was doing some spook stuff overseas, and we were talking, and we have an advantage. You know, the advantage I have over a lot of people, the advantage you have over a lot of people. I've been to places where people want to kill me. And if they found out what you're doing or what you're doing, they would kill you. They'd stick in a jail somewhere and let you rot, you know? So that stress, that pressure, the fear you have to come face to face with and say, you know, I've got a pony up here and face this and go through it. You know, Mr. Casper Milktoast, he says, well, I don't want to create waves. I don't want to do this. I don't want to say anything against gay and lesbians, because, you know, somebody might not like me. Well, I mean, you know, you're going to face fear one day And courage is something that it builds in a man. I guess there are certain people built with an innate courage. I don't know. I think it's a character that's developed in a man or woman. You know, where you start taking the baby steps. You know, an SF guy, with the first SF mission you went on, they made it an easy mission because they wanted you to win it, because that builds confidence. And then you build a confidence upon confidence upon confidence that then they can send you on, you know, SEAL Team 6 guys out to capture bin Laden or whatever, you know. Well, you've gone through the initiation, you've exposed yourself to danger, and then you've built upon that and you've become a person of valor, courage, integrity. And that's what we need to be doing right now. That's why the social media wants to shut everybody down. They don't want any courageous people out there. They want a bunch of wimps out there. That's what they want for men. They want girly boys out there.
You see, and that's a good point, because in the Marine Corps infantry, because that's, I was, you know, if no one knows this, I was standard 0311 infantry. You know, it took a lot of baby steps from your 3 months in boot camp, where they literally tell you you are nothing, you are every single expletive that you have ever heard in your life, and then some. And then they show you that there's a new way to turn that expletive into like a good remark. Like, hey, you F face, great job. And you're like, oh my God, did I do something good or bad? You know, and they build you up slowly. All right. They build that confidence level. And then you move on to the School of Infantry. It's another couple months of building that baby steps. But by the time you get into what we call the Marine Corps fleet, before you get to a battalion, you've had 5 months of training. You've had 2 months of actual training about your job. When you get to the fleet, guess what they tell you, Bob? Forget everything you just learned. We're fixing to show you how to do it for real now. So The problem with all that is, and here's the problem with a lot of people who go through a lot of the training, and I never, ever tell people not to take training. I always say, go get trained. Go to a professional within your local area. Support small local business. If you need to travel to one of these big Gucci name guys and get their training, you can pay for it and you can get in that slot, do it. You're going to learn a lot. But start from the baby steps. Learn basic fundamentals of marksmanship, dry firing, sitting here with your pistol. Bang.
Yep.
Reset. Bang. Just doing, I do that 100 times a day. Reset. Huh?
Yeah, learn the trigger reset.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I see people all the time slapping that trigger, and you're never going to be accurate doing that.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have to go click, click, bang.
I was on the range a lot. And I walked that range a lot, and I've sat there with my buddies who are firearms instructors. And eventually you learn over years and years and years of shooting what you're doing wrong. But when you first start off, most people go, oh man, my scope's all messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. The gun's more accurate than you are. The scope's more accurate than you are. You suck. That's why you need to train, so you don't suck. It took me a long time to learn how not to suck with that. You know, I can shoot this. I can shoot this M4 day and night in my sleep. Anytime I pick it up, I know how to use it because I've picked it up for 14 years straight. But something that's long range precision, it takes me some time to get back into that motion. But that's keeping a continuous evaluation of your training. Airsoft guns, what a great way to practice force on force with your buddies. In your house, clear everybody out of your house, turn the lights off, tell your buddy to go hide in your house, then go find them. Make sure you're wearing goggles or something, because airsoft freaking hurts. You know, go there and have an airsoft battle. Bah, 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 bah. You know, you're having a battle in between your door jams. That's real life. Real life is not standing on a flat range, being a paper target Terminator, showing everybody, oh, look, my second follow-on shot is subpar. You know, half of a second. That's cool. That's great. Can you do it if I punch you in the face, though?
Can you do it when you have to run?
Yeah. Can you do it if your heart rate is at 170?
Gunfight, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
You're standing still in a gunfight, you're going to get hit.
Yeah. Here's a real
move off the edge.
Here's a real simple thing for people to do. Get some goggles. Take some water. Put a little bit of red food dye in that water. Spray it on your goggles, simulated blood in the eyes. Now go to the range. Make sure you're safe. Make sure you have an instructor with you. But see now how accurate you are or how inaccurate you are with blood in the eyes. Ed, you've probably been there. shooting with sweat in the eyes that burns, sand and grit in your eyes, CS gas, OC spray. That sucks. Absolutely sucks. Have you done it with your gas mask on, though? Have you, the civilian?
We actually have.
Yeah, have you, the civilian? Do you even own a gas mask? And I'm not talking about just for nuclear, biological, radiological, but just the fact you have a gas mask. Have you even trained in the gear that you buy? That's pointless for me and Bob to sit here and tell you, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this, and you don't use it. You don't train with it. I know these things sit here all the time, but they really don't. Because whenever I get done with this, I'm using all these things. I practice with my guns weekly. I wish daily, but, you know, hey, ammo is a little hard to come by. But I practice with my guns daily, not just shooting, though, movement. I practice, Bob, I'll tell you this much. I practice movement to fire and just doing gun drills, presenting my gun constantly, and then doing magazine exchanges. Those are the two things that I worry about the most.
Absolutely.
I want to be able
practicing
to be
that magazine exchange. Yes.
Yep, I want to be
in the
on target. Bam. That's what
in
I want
to
work on.
You know, to get that magazine in there, you know, get it in there. So, I mean, you know, in the dark, people try to put it in backwards.
I mean, you know,
and it doesn't go and they get frustrated. It's simple muscle memory to remember how to put that in. And then just make sure it's not, you know, that trigger reset. Because that's the big thing I know in training. I've seen people slapping the trigger like this, you know. You don't ever take your finger off the trigger. It's just pull it. Reset, pull. And that right there, that one tactic, if you can get that one skill down, you've dramatically improved your group. And again, practice moving and shooting. It's easy to, like you said, to kill paper targets standing still. But if you think you're going to shoot that way in a real life dynamic situation, you're going to get killed. If you're standing there shooting.
Just look at paintball tournaments. All right. I used to love playing paintball. That's so fun. But there's never one person standing still playing paintball unless they're behind something. Everybody's running in circles around each other because it hurts, right?
Get black welts on your body.
Yeah, it should hurt. The point of training should hurt. You should work out to the point that you do get those excruciating cramps in your thighs because you're pushing yourself to the next level. You should be running so hard that you hit your knees by the time you're done, just gulping in air because you're pushing yourself. If you are walking yourself through training, you're going to walk yourself into the grave.
Yeah. You know, speaking of gas mask, I always tell people, what's the hardest part about using a gas mask? And
decon.
I actually had one lady, decon, taking it off. People never think of that. Taking it off because, I mean, it's easy to take it off when it's, you know, everything's fine. But if I just pepper sprayed your mask and then you discovered, wow, this filter really protects me from the pepper spray, but you don't deal with the pepper spray and the mask and you take it off, as soon as you touch your face, believe me, you're going to know it real quick. It's going to burn. If you've ever been a face full of pepper spray, it does not feel good. But that's a real life exercise that you can do. Be prepared not to get it all off and be prepared that, you know, that you're going to hurt. But it teaches you, you want to get it right. You know, the same thing, running and then shooting. When you are huffing and puffing, you know, all those exercises, learning how to use this thing. You know, everybody knows I can pick this thing up and talk to people. But, do you know how to switch it from frequency mode to channel mode?
Hey, but you know what? That's one part of training that we used to do in the military and in law enforcement. At one of the best ways that you can simulate combat controllably is do 1 minute straight of burpees. Burpees are great. They suck. They're not great. They're horrible. Whoever invented them sucks. Burpees will put you at that high blood pressure level, the 150s, 160s, 170s, 180s, of what would be theoretically where you would be at in the middle of a combat situation. I've been there before where you're just shaking. Everything's tunnel vision. And then give me a salute report.
Yeah.
You're gonna laugh at how much you stutter and you can't, like, hey, go to channel 16, you know, and if you start at 1, 16's at the end, it should be simple just to do this. You're gonna sit there, oh, I can't do it. Give me a salute report. Okay, and send and receive.
You get pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, Matt Everett from Brushbeater, brushbeater.org, he does force on force. And I mean, he puts 20 people out in the field to 10-man teams, and they do it at night vision. You're using live fire. I mean, they're blanks, and you have blank firing adapters on your weapons. So it's all monitored very, very closely. But I mean, you actually get to go out in the field. Your team is out there trying to kill the other team. Now, you know, if you want some excitement, if you want some adrenaline, take one of his courses, because I'm telling you, you're going to get pumped up, because you're going to realize, even though it's for pretend shooting, when somebody's pointing a gun at you and goes bang, 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 and you realize in real life, I'd be dead right now. You know, it adds a realism to it. And I tell you, his courses are top notch. Matt Everett, Brushbeater. But, you know, and you can go to his website and see his training schedule. But I've taken his courses, and I've been shot before, you know, not really. But I mean, I got so fixated on the guys in front of me, I never watched my flank. I just forgot to do it. And the next thing I know, 10 feet away, there was a guy there with an AR-15 pointing at me. Bang, bang, bang. Bob's dead. Now, you know, you learn a lot from that kind of thing. Yeah, you learn a lot. But again, if you're, this is why I tell people to turn their TV off. It's not doing you any favors whatsoever. You need to be right now cross-trained. Get some medical training. We have Stuck Pig Medical that comes out here. We have other courses we offer. And you can get my son, 19, you know, he's been through those courses, the firearms courses, the night vision courses. And we actually do the training again at night with night and thermal. And you want to add a dynamic to it, you know, put the nods on and then go out at night with your AR-15s and blank firing adapters and have one team in bed and you've got to go find them. That adds a realism to it of what it's really like. Okay. And, you know, then when you're done, you are giving those SALT reports and salute reports. And when you're done, you're doing after action reports. You're coming back. You're doing a gear report to make sure nobody's lost gear in the field. Because if you've lost a radio in the field, you need to know that radio's out there for possibly an enemy to find.
Or night vision.
You just need to know. Yeah, night vision. I'll make sure everybody has the gear. You list the gear you go into the field with, and you do a report of all the gear when you bring it back, because you want to know if something's missing, what you've just given your enemy. You know, they call it a battlefield acquisition. You know, it's not like you're going to find night vision gun nods laying around everywhere, but, you know, eventually you might find a battlefield acquisition. Somebody's lost something.
Yeah.
Well, at that point.
Let me talk about lost gear for a second. When I was the Marine Corps, I remember stupid young Marines, you know, and we were stationed on Hawaii. They'd lean the rifle against a tree, and Corporal Thornton would get to find it. Well, now you're going to owe me to get your rifle back, you know, because it's mine now. It's mine. You gave it to me. You gave it to the tree. Who gave it to me? Well, you've got to understand that even in country, we had guys. I had a friend of mine. And he was this was his third pump, I believe. Well, and he was a squared away Marine, big old saw gunner, big old like D2 wrestler from Ohio, just a great big man. And his mono NVG slipped off sometime going down a stairwell at night. And as they're going down a stairwell, everyone slips and falls down, right? And they all stumble on top of each other. It happens. That's real world. People are going to fall, you know? And so in between all this, they have to get up, get out of the house, go to a next house where whatever event was happening, the nod fell off. We never found it. But we looked for 2 months straight in country from house to house to house until we finally found it. And it was a little like 5-year-old kid. All right. So why is that pertinent? Because our technology could have been used against us. Thankfully, it was a little child, didn't know what he had, and he kept it and hid it in like a little shoebox, all right? Imagine now, and I've seen this with cops. I've seen it on the riot line where cops will not properly attach radio pouches because they're lazy. They'll not properly attach handcuff pouches, or, you know, they're in the middle of a fist fight and we're trying to do an effective arrest and magazines are going everywhere. Batteries are flying out. Radios are falling. Now the radio's in the crowd of people. We've had those radios captured and we had to then, you know, remotely delete them. And, you know, I've seen people's guns fall down. I've seen people's flashlights fall. I've seen people's helmets fall apart. Because they did not properly put their gear together. So once again, you should not sound like Santa Claus coming to deliver some presents to the neighborhood cookies or kiddies whenever you are in any type of fight. You shouldn't have a bunch of jingles and jangles. You should have sound discipline. I like all my batteries because I have pouches. I'm a very big proponent of carrying spare batteries for every flashlight on my person. So I put my batteries in a Ziploc pouch, seal the pouch, and put it in my grenade pouch or whatever admin pouch I have. For one thing, it's noise discipline. But two, it's a pouch. Even and all my pouches are zip-on. I don't use Velcro. Velcro is loud. Velcro can rip open. But even with that, I've found times where like, damn, my pouch was open. I got to close it. Because no one ever has batteries when you need them. You always have batteries and everyone else needs them, right? That's just the way it goes. So make sure your gear is adequately secured. If it's MVGs, we used to dummy cord our MVGs. We would tie a little piece of string around the MVG to our helmet. And yeah, I can't tell you how many times in training that thing would just fall off and whack a dude right in the face with it. You know, your gear, if we're talking about prophecy hit the fan, Bob, you're not going to just order it. eBay is not there no more. Ready-made resources isn't there anymore. What you have is what you can find now, once you've lost it or acquire, maybe barter and trade for it. But gear becomes very, very precious, just like how the food stocks are about to be really, really precious. We're at 35 minutes right now. I want to hear you talk to us about food riots.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, you know, in Intel report, you use a baseline. So you draw a baseline. You know, my baseline blood pressure is 120 over 80. That's blood pressure. So that's a baseline. I know what's normal. Okay. So if I take my blood pressure one day and it's 180 over 120, you know, there's an issue with it. Okay. That gives me, that's an Intel report that tells me I've got an issue. So what I'm telling people to do is to evaluate the baseline in your community. What's the baseline? What's the baseline for transportation? What's the baseline for food delivery? What's the baseline for your infrastructure? All those baselines are important. And because when something deviates from the baseline, you have an anomaly. And those anomalies are going to add up very quickly in a crisis situation. And you're going to have personnel and people that know how to deal with it, that don't panic and can handle the situation. So if I look at a baseline today nationally, I just see crime surging. Okay. So this is and the FBI, they have statistics. Once crime goes over 1.3% of the population, it becomes unmanageable because everybody starts to realize at that point, the FBI can't keep up with it. They can't keep up with it. So the smaller and smaller crimes, just we're not going to mess with that. Oh, you credit card fraud, $1 million. We're not going to, that's not even worth us doing anything about it. So it just makes crime grow. We see that happening today. Right now, we see crime exploding in the United States. Shortages. You know, what's baseline? Baseline was I could always, if I wanted lobster tails, I could go get them. They were available. Now, it's becoming rare. I mean, we see shortages across the board. And I can tell you, as the owner of Ready Made Resources, in the 30 years I've been doing this business, I see shortages develop today because of not enough personnel to run the companies or shortages of the actual material needed to produce the widget, whatever it is. So we also see this explosion of fiat money. They know what they're doing. So this is we're deviating major from the baseline right now. Trillions and trillions of dollars and just fiat money is being printed, which we know what's going to happen. It drives the price of everything up. We see the increase of lawlessness, and especially among our lawmakers, way out of baseline. Natural disasters increasing. We're getting in wars. I think we're going to be in a three-front war here with China going into Taiwan and the Israelis and Saudis having to go and deal with the Iranians. The energy sector, gas prices are going to explode. Inflation is going to explode. How much further off the baseline do you need to get before you understand we've got some serious, serious issues? Medications people can't get. Medical treatments people can't get. And I could go on and on and on how we've deviated from baseline, what is normal in the United States. In the last year, we have taken a hard turn left. And with it, we just see everything coming apart at the seams. So, I mean, you can wait. I mean, right now in Greece, they're rationing food. In Germany, the price of food is going to go up 30 to 50%. And can you imagine the Karens? You know, where's your mask? You've got too much food in your basket. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, wearing the mask is one thing, but when Karen's hungry and you've got two packs of hot dogs and Yeah, she didn't get any because they're all gone. Can you imagine what Karen's going to do at that point?
I lived through that. I've lived through stuff like that, like Hurricane Rita, Hurricane Katrina. I have been there when people have got into fist fights with a can of Bumblebee chicken. When they
It's not
were
fair.
when they're rationing out food, when they were rationing out water to us, when they were rationing out gasoline. That's one that drove people crazy. Having a sheriff's deputy sit right there, all right, you get 5 gallons of gas, move on. Like, well, that barely gets me home. Well, I don't know what to tell you. People aren't prepared for the rationing, but we live in a society where people say, you owe me something. Well, let me go ahead and just be the wolf at your door. The world doesn't owe you anything, period.
Well, everybody becomes a little collectivist when they're in need. You need to share. Well, no, I don't.
No.
I know I will work with my community, but I don't owe you anything.
And
Now, again,
what about this, Bob? People are going to come to your place because they know you. They know you. They know after watching this video, they know that you have stuff. They know that they can get stuff from you, or they've always known, right? Same for me. I'm going to tell you right now, if you come to my house uninvited, you bring your vehicle here, it's my vehicle now, and you're going to be walking back nude.
I'm gonna unmount you real quick.
There's no peace here. There's no peace. There's no mercy here. I can't spare it.
I have security measures that I'm not gonna go into. My friends, I have good friends, hard hitters, and I'm not gonna be belligerent. I'm just gonna say no. If you want to do this, I have this, and you're gonna have to do that for me. It's gonna be a barter system. Your nest's not gonna come here. I'd rather blow it up then give it away to looters. I'm just not, because if you're a looter, I don't want to feed you. If you're going to be harming the community, I'm not going to give you supplies so that you can go further harm the community. I'm not going
Exactly.
to do it.
That's
So,
why the community preparedness and something I've harped on so long is you should go meet your neighbors. You're going to know which ones you like and which ones you don't by doing that. And you're going to just say, hey, let's all get on a text message group. Let's be a part of a night watch. Let's get together once and let's talk about a community preparedness if a tornado hit, or if like what we're having right now, tornadoes and fires in Texas. My brother's house, my oldest brother, he just had his house wasted away by a tornado. In that part of Southeast Texas where I'm from, we have hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes and wildfires consistently. We grew up always knowing to be prepared for anything. People used to have boats sitting up at their house because they knew when that 100-year flood comes, if they didn't get out, they had a boat to get out on. Right now, and you kind of said it with the Karens, we live in a day of age where men are not prepared to save their families, and they rely upon other men to save them. That's not what we want here. We want to teach you to be your own first responder. Be your own. I want to teach you how to self-rescue. That's why it's important to learn what we're telling you.
Joshua just learned how to give himself an IV. He's been shot and he has fluids. How do you give yourself an IV? I mean, it's disgusting, but you can even give a rectal IV. I mean, you go read about it and it'll save your life. Kind of messy, but it works. And I might want my son as cross-trained as possible. But would and again, with the statistic I just saw, 25% of 19 or 12 to 19 year olds are pre-diabetic. We're a nation of softies, and we don't understand the attrition rate of these people. It's just going to be massive when they don't get all their drugs. And I don't make fun of people. I'm not doing this. I'm not trying to shame anybody. But if you've got that big 50-pound tire on you, you need to get rid of it. And there's only one way to get rid of it, and that's to close the pie hole and start working out. That's the only way you're going to do it. I'm not bragging. I was at the gym, 66 years old. I was at the gym today doing the bicycle, pumping iron, lifting weights. I hike on my property. Saturday I was probably like I was 25 again, and I got a little injured. But it's in my nature to do that. But again, we see the do the intelligence report. Make your own intelligence report. Write down a situation rep. Right now, do a situation report of your area and what the problems in your area are, what you could face. I mean, we're 3 hours out of Atlanta, and that's a tank of gas. Not Chattanooga. I mean, you'd have to say, listen, You know, is it that dire that we have to close down the exits to the interstate? Nobody comes up 411. You know, is that what you have to do? Because you don't want your community just flooded with 5,000 people that you can't feed. They're going to go to Walmart and loot everything because they're going to be desperate. They're going to be people running out of gas. I mean, it's just that if a nuclear attack happened, you would see people on panic mode immediately.
And that's a hard that's a hard conversation to have too with the layman, because they don't understand self-sacrifice to that extent. They say, oh, well, you're being selfish. You're not letting all these people in. We're like, our community already can't survive with the population we have now because we have less resources. We don't even know where we're going to put the dead. What about your jail? You know, do you release the jail? Do you go to the inmates and find the ones that are the least violent and say, hey, this happened. You can either be part of the chain gang and be outside the jail and work yourself to freedom, or you can stay in here in the cell and we're not going to feed you because you're a useless eater now. Yeah. These are hard topics to talk about. But, you know, here's another one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to that great interview with Bob Griswold. Unfortunately, due to the time constraints, we had to cut it short. You can catch the rest of this interview on the YouTube and Rumble shows. We're going to have some good guests lined up for the next week. Like I said, sorry we had to cut it short. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.